you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we read in the book of Acts this morning, the day of Pentecost was a day of fulfillment. It was the day of the beginning of the ministry of the Holy Christian Church in the world, a ministry of the gospel, a ministry empowered by the Holy Spirit, and a ministry authorized by the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore, that day was attended by notable signs and miracles. The first thing was that there came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind that filled the whole place where the believers were. And then there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, a supernatural manifestation of the Spirit in fulfillment of the prophecy of John the Baptist, who said that the Messiah will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And those cloven tongues sat upon each of them, and the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. That is, the Holy Ghost worked a miracle by which the Christians were enabled to fluently speak in a language that they had never learned. And they spoke out the wonderful works of God. And all of Jerusalem, hearing the sound, came together and witnessed these things. Some of them wondered and said, "What does this mean?" And others dismissed it, saying, "Ah, they're drunk." And that's where our epistle lesson ends. But in our gospel lesson today, we have a promise that Jesus makes, that he will not leave us as orphans, but he will come to us. He will manifest himself to us. Jesus said in verse 21, a couple of verses before our gospel, he said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." That is, I will show myself to the one who loves me. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you are going to manifest yourself to us, but not unto the world? How is that going to happen? How will we be able to perceive you, but the world will not be able to perceive you?" And that's where our gospel lesson comes in. Jesus is answering the question, how will you manifest yourself to us in such a way that we will perceive it, but the world will know nothing about it? And Jesus answers it in a threefold manner. First of all, he says, if a man loveth me, he will keep my word. Now, what Jesus is saying here is that those who profess a love for For Jesus Christ will already begin to manifest a love for Jesus' word. And therefore, he will keep the word of Jesus. The word keep means to treasure the word of Jesus, to guard and protect the word of Jesus, to study, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the word of Jesus, and to follow and obey the word of Jesus. The idea of a professing Christian who is indifferent to the word of Jesus is never contemplated in the Bible. He that loveth me will keep my words. The word of God will be the highest priority in their life. They will not give in to temptations to absent themselves from the public ministry of the word of God. They will use the word of God publicly. They will use the word of God privately. And they will use the word of God in their prayers and in their devotions. And that is what love does. See, first, the Holy Spirit brings you to faith in Christ. Then true and living faith produces love for Christ. That is, we regard him as the highest gift to us from God. And so we begin to love him. And we show our love to Jesus by keeping his word, treasuring it, using it, guarding it, protecting it, following it, and obeying it, using the word of God. And as we do this, it says the Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Through the word of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost come to the individual Christian and dwell within that Christian. So you have God dwelling in you. And this is what produces your love for the word. This is what produces your desire to praise the Lord and your desire to be a blessing to your neighbor. It is because God has graciously come to you by means of his word, and he now makes his abode with you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. To each of us who believe in Christ, who have come to love him through the work of the Spirit, and who keep the word of God, we have the promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So he comes to his church when we are gathered together corporately, and he comes to every individual Christian and dwells in their hearts by faith. All right. That's the first way that Jesus manifests himself to Christians and not to the world. He dwells in the hearts of those who love him. The second way that Jesus manifests himself to the church and not to the world is found in verse 26. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the second way in which Jesus manifests himself to the church is in the inspiration of the scriptures of the New Testament. When the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles and the early Christians, he so moved among them that ultimately, when they wrote down their teaching, they were guided and empowered by the Spirit so that the thoughts and the very words which they wrote are the words of the living God. And therefore, we Christians have always believed in, I'm going to use two technical terms here, the plenary verbal inspiration of the Word of God. That means, plenary means the whole thing. We mean that all of the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, is equally inspired by God. Plenary inspiration. The whole Bible is inspired by God. Secondly, we mean verbal inspiration. That means the very words which the writers wrote were written at the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so that every word of Scripture is the very word of God, exactly as God willed it to be written. And therefore, we may have maximum confidence in the Old and New Testaments of the Holy Scriptures, because the Spirit of God has come and he guided the apostles and taught them all things and brought to their remembrance everything that Jesus had said unto them, so that when they wrote these things down by the Holy Spirit's prompting, we now have received this blessed benefit. Now, we are not directly inspired by the Spirit so that we write the very words of God, but we have received these words from the Holy Spirit through the apostles, and we learn from them and confess our faith in accordance with them and are comforted and kept in the faith by means of these inspired words, so that when we have the words, we have the God who has made the promises, and we have the promises and the assurance of their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. So the second way in which Jesus manifests himself to us, not only does he dwell in our hearts by faith, but he also has communicated to us and quickens us in the use of the Word of God, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, so that we may be filled with the knowledge of God and may continue steadfast in the faith unto our end. All right, so that's one and two. Number three. Verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." All right, so Jesus says, "I bequeath to you my peace," which is different from the peace of the world. You see, the peace of the world has conditions. Everything has to be put in place and everything has to be running smoothly for the world to experience a short-term feeling of tranquility. The world's peace is a transitory feeling that can only happen when everything is going well. But Jesus doesn't give us worldly peace. He gives us his peace, which is not like the world. And it is different because his peace is an accomplished, finished fact that never changes. No matter what may be going on in our life, there is a fact about Christ and us that never changes. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, St. Paul says it this way. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, there is no longer wrath, judgment, anger, and punishment hanging over our heads because of our sins. Jesus has once and for all dealt with our sins. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, we now have something that doesn't change. We have peace with God. God loves you and is pleased with you and is at peace with you for Christ's sake, not for your own sake, but for Christ's sake. And therefore, no matter what's going on in your outward circumstances, no matter what trouble, tribulation, difficulty you may be going through, you may be assured that God loves you, that God has planned mighty things for you, and that one day all of your troubles will be past and you will stand before the one who will say to you, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So, what you may be going through today, there may be financial problems, there may be health problems. We've been going through this crazy pandemic for the past year, ups and downs. We're seeing the downside now. It's starting to look like it's in the rear view mirror instead of right out ahead of us and surrounding us at all sides. We're beginning to see it in the rear view mirror, thanks be to God. But here's the deal. The peace that we have with God through our Lord Jesus Christ never changes. And therefore, it enables you in whatever your troubles, whatever your trials, to not let your heart be troubled and to not let your heart be afraid. Because you know that as an objective fact accomplished by Christ on the cross, you have peace with God. You don't have to let your troubles trouble you. You don't have to let your fears fearinate you. You are able to have confidence and you are able to have courage even in times of trouble because you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is how our Lord graciously manifests himself to us and not to the world. Number one, he dwells in our hearts by faith. Number two, he has given us his holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God as an anchor for our soul. And thirdly, he has assured us in all the proclamation of the gospel that we have peace with God through Christ. And in such a way, he graciously manifests his presence among us and assures us of his grace, his mercy, and his help. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.